and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Trump administration's halted interviews for student and exchange visas for foreigners, and that's not all. CBS's Nancy Cordes from the White House.
So anyone who wants to be a student here in the U.S. would have to have their social media accounts scrutinized.
Word from Prime Minister Netanyahu this past half hour, Israel killed senior Hamas leader Mohammed Sinwar in a recent airstrike in the Gaza Strip. He is, or was, the brother of Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar, one of the masterminds of the October 7th attack, who was killed by Israeli forces last year. Israel has vowed to fight until Hamas is destroyed or disarmed and exiled, and until the remaining 58 hostages are returned. Ford is recalling more than a million vehicles because of problems with rear cameras. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
The issue is widespread. It impacts most Ford and Lincoln products from the last 3 years.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Work on a new bill to help victims of crimes and disasters is underway at the state capitol. Lisa Hale has the story.
Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin and a bipartisan group of lawmakers have introduced new legislation aimed at providing tax relief to victims of crimes and disasters. The bill, dubbed the Tax Relief for Victims of Crimes, Scams, and Disasters Act, would reinstate a tax deduction for residents with stolen or destroyed assets. The bill would apply to personal casualty losses from things like storms and fires, as well as theft losses from things like scams or robberies. The legislation will now be introduced by a bipartisan group in the House of Representatives.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has an announcement. Brittany Merlot tells us more about the Rare Plant Monitoring Program's 2025 Plant of the Year.
This year, the agency is encouraging us to plant milkweed in our yards. There are 13 native milkweed species in Wisconsin, and 5 of them are listed as endangered, threatened, or under special concern. Milkweed is especially helpful for monarch butterflies, as the only plants the butterflies lay their eggs on and the only food the caterpillars eat. And if you want, you can find native milkweed plants on the DNR's website.
The Village of Port Edwards is asking residents to weigh in with their thoughts about local transportation needs and safety. The Village Board would like to hear from families and caregivers on the safety of routes that children take to school. This will help direct resources for future improvements to walking and biking paths, crosswalks, and traffic patterns near schools. You can find the link for the survey on the Village of Port Edwards Facebook page. It will be available until June 8th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Damp and dreary today, with on and off light rain likely and a clap of thunder also possible. Temperatures staying crisp, too, only rising to the mid-60s. But tomorrow, the sunshine returns and so do temperatures in the mid-70s. And we get even warmer after that. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic, joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Got a Wednesday edition of the band together. We're going to have some fun in the next hour. Good things coming up for you we're going to get into. We've got the states that drive the fastest and the slowest. I want to get to this one, too. The perfect way to make a s'more. I got a good one here. I want to get into that, too. And plenty of other stuff. We'll wrap up with an update from our United Way, along with some other good things going on in our area and touch on our schedule. But we kick things off with entertainment in the 10 o'clock hour. And any opportunity to talk about Miranda Lambert, I'm going to take it. No, she was in the news recently. USA Today did an article on her. In their latest issue of USA Today Home, she went, the article, this was a nice article talking about her, but the main focus was on Mutt Nation. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to touch on that for a little bit for those who may not know. This is an organization of hers. It's been around for quite a while. They do a lot of really good work. There's a number of different ways that you can be a part of it. Even just sharing the information, sharing the what they're doing over there. But I thought it was a really nice article. I wanted to encourage people to check it out if you get a chance. A shout out to Tractor Supply as well, who work with her on this and where a lot of the funds and awareness are done.
So I don't know if you know this, but there was a local Wisconsin Rapids dog featured.
Is there? Oh, there was.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's right. Augie, and yes. Yeah, and his owner is an eye doctor in town here. But she had submitted his story because how cute is it that a eye doctor would have a one eye dog?
Yes. Yeah.
And so stuffed Augies were made and available at Tractor Supply. So it's kind of cool how Mutt Nation will just feature a certain dog or dogs and then, you know, kind of tell their story. And I think, you know, it's really smart marketing, right? Because it makes people come back, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I want to hear about the next dog that they're featuring and I want to hear about the next story. So, but yeah, it was super cool when Augie got featured.
They're available exclusively over at Tractor Supply throughout the U.S. And when you purchase those items, 100% of the proceeds go into the Mutt Nation cause, which super is really cool. Nice to be able to see. There's something about when with her and when she is talking about something or involved with something, she's either the greatest actor I've ever seen in my life or she is the real deal.
No, she's full of passion.
She's just
all over it.
I really enjoy certainly her as an artist, I do, but what she does off the field, bringing awareness to different things, it does a really nice job of it. I think the one of the better ways of doing it, where you're not trying to like talk down to people or guilt people into things or anything like that. I don't think, and you know this much better than I do, I don't think that you really get people to register and to engage with that when you're just talking to somebody and you're having a conversation or you're presenting the information. I think that goes so much farther. And the local part of it, what you're touching on there with the work that her and the Tractor Supply Company are doing, that's key to a lot of this too going forward. It's not enough to just bring attention to it, but really, you know, whenever you can bring in that local tie, that goes so much farther. You can read more about Mutt Nation at MuttNation.com and head over to USA Today to find that complete article. It's really nice. It's a good one. Wanted to take a look at the weekend box office numbers, in part because it was a little surprising to me. For those that hadn't heard and didn't look, the big ones really out this weekend, the Mission Impossible, the last Mission Impossible movie, and the live-action Lilo and Stitch movie. Two very different audiences traditionally when it comes to the people that are going to go to those movies. But most marketers, most people in the industry would have told you, well, those live-action movies at Disney, they're hit or miss. They don't do that great. And the Mission Impossible franchise, especially this being the last one and the amount of hype put on it and everything, there's no way that's not going to be number one in the box office. And then reality happens. And I think that there is a little bit of a wear down with the Tom Cruise brand and with the Mission Impossible brand. Not much, but a bit of one. And there is a kind of... there is almost a second act happening with Disney with these live action movies because they are truly black and white. It's either it's a hit or it's just it does horrible. It's either, you know, the Lilo and Stitch movie, which was number one in the box office over the weekend over Mission Impossible. Actually, Lilo and Stitch broke the highest Memorial Day weekend opening ever. Ever.
That's crazy.
That really, really is. It speaks to a little bit too of the, you know, this is one of the things that they don't get into with these numbers. The particular Memorial weekend we had here where we had throughout the country, you know, dicey weather here and there. And we also had a lot of people that were itching to get out because a lot of the country was under already blanketed weather. So movie theaters were, you know, a lot more people were hitting the movie theater than traditional maybe or in recent years. And a lot of those people were families. And if you're a family, you're probably not going to take the kids to Mission Impossible Final Reckoning. You know,
it depends on how old the kids are, but
maybe,
yes.
Maybe. You know, me as a 7-year-old, sure. But your normal 7-year-old probably wants to see Lilo and Stitch more than Tom Cruise hanging off of an airplane. I don't know. So it's not that surprising when you break it down, but just when they walked into the weekend, it speaks to a one of these things that we're seeing more and more of, the people that, like, they have the information and how little they are to share of it. We saw this a lot in the NFL draft recently, where every mock draft had, you know, certain players going in certain places, and then the actual draft happens, and all those players are not drafted where a lot of people thought they were, because they just, these mock draft people and these draft gurus, they're good at what they do, and they have a lot of great solid information, and they're watching the games and all that, but they're not insiders. They don't have that coveted inside information, and the people that have that information, they're becoming less and less likely to share it anymore. And that's the same thing with the movie industry, where there's a lot of good people in it. It's so easy to say all of Hollywood is blind or out of touch or anything. That's not the case. It's not true. It's not fair. It's also somewhat accurate. It's also somewhat
it's also true.
It's also somewhat true. It's a little column A, a little column B. They prove that they're out of touch with a lot of this kind of stuff, and quite frankly, a lot of the movies that they're putting out there. At the same time, I think that they understand the audience to a degree, because they have to. Nobody survives in that industry. As soon as a bomb happens, heads roll. So you're going to get good at the job, whether you actually care about people or not. You're going to get good at it if you want to keep that paycheck. It's just very surprising to me how off they were about this one, and how it's not just that Lilo and Stitch outdid Mission Impossible. It's by how much it did, and the record-breaking weekend. If you'd have told me that the record-breaking weekend happened for Mission Impossible, well, of course, it's Tom Cruise. He's Mr. 4th of July. He's the biggest box office star there's ever been, like quite literally. This was a little more surprising to me.
I think I would say, I'll go see it, though.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to definitely see it.
Not Lilo and Stitch.
No, that one's not for me, but I'm definitely going to see the Mission Impossible. I'm a sucker for those movies. I've been very honest about this one. Those movies pull me in. There's something about them. Final Destination Bloodlines was at number 3. Sinners is still doing really good at number 4. And Thunderbolts came in as well. But the new movie Friendship, which is doing very well in a limited release. And I always like seeing these limited release movies do well. It's good for the industry, and I think good for moviegoers when that happens. Let's see here. Also want to do take a look at something else that is interesting that's happening with this. So the reason for the Lilo and Stitch movie doing so well, I mentioned a couple of factors there, but the biggest factor of this is something that Hollywood and all businesses are going to be hitting on over the next couple of years, if not the next 5 to 10 years. The Zillennials. They are the micro generation of individuals roughly between the late 90s and early 2000s. I don't know a lot of what I just said there, but this is the group of people. They are representing a transition between millennials and Generation Z. They are often described as a mix of both generations, and they are a generation that has money. That they are saying has money. I don't know if they actually do, but they are saying they do.
So we have generations. We've had them, named them for a long time. But now we have to have the in-betweeners have a name?
Well, we don't have to, but marketing people do. Marketing people are doing this. Marketing people. I don't think that your average person has any idea of a lot of what I just said. But if you're in marketing, if you're in sales, you better know these names. You have to do this, because there's not a lot of people with free income right now. There's not a lot of people with spendable income. This little group of people I just talked about is one of the few that does have disposable income. And if that's the coveted thing. It used to be when we were kids, that coveted 18 to 34 range. That's where you wanted to hit your... If you could get anything from there, whatever business, I don't care if you sold gum or you were a movie company or anything. That was the coveted group. Now, this is the coveted group. It's just got the data. With more and more data, they just narrow this stuff down more and more. And so they're going to label these things, but I don't think any average person is looking at it that way. But they're saying that this was the big reason why Lilo and Stitch did so well, because that generation grew up with that movie. And now they're getting to take their kids to it, or going with their significant other to go see it. And nostalgia. That is the biggest thing that anybody is looking for nowadays.
I don't know that that's new. I think nostalgia's always been on people's radar.
I think it's... it just changes. The only change up that happens really is per generation. Like right now, they're really hitting us with nostalgia. Our generation, they're really hitting us and really going after us with it and stuff. And I love it. Pander to me. It's the only time I'll ever say this in my life, but I'll be completely honest. I'm loving it. I love that commercials and movies and TV shows, they're so focused on our generation right now and hitting that. With that said, I'm enjoying it while we can, because this is coming. The whole Zillennials thing is coming. Everything is parody, and the movie industry is seeing this, and Disney darn sure is seeing it. So you can expect a lot more movies of that era to be being remade, or you know, the ideas of a re-envisioned or anything like that. And we'll see where it goes. Did want to mention our WFHR newsletter, everybody. Tomorrow at noon, you'll have a new edition dropping in your email box. Encourage you to go to WFHR.com, sign up for that newsletter. It is your one-stop stop for all Central Wisconsin news. We've got some great articles in there from a lot of our civic media brethren, Lucas Hart, Terry Barr, and Brittany, writing articles on there, along with the people in this studio, in this building. Certainly Chuck and Laura and Michael covering a bunch of different stuff for you right there. Now, when you sign up for the newsletter, there is a comment section. So if there is story ideas or things going on in the area that you'd like to see us cover that maybe you don't feel like we've been able to enough or haven't enough or something, feel free to leave that. If you like what we're doing, please feel free to leave comments there too. People don't leave nice comments enough. I mean, in general, not just with us. Yeah, we're actually kind of spoiled on that one. I think we get a lot of good feedback and we're very thankful for that. But I encourage people just in general to do that a little bit more. And sign up for that newsletter. If you care about what's going on in your community, you care about what's going on in this in Central Wisconsin, we got it for you. Sign up at WFHR.com. Appreciate everybody who has already signed up for that newsletter. We'll take a time out. We'll come back. And Terry, I want to get into the perfect way to make a s'more. I want to get into that one. We'll come back.
I bet we're different.
I might be. Might be. We'll see. Coming up on the morning show at WFHR.
Whoa, whoa, more fiber?
What?
Down here, buddy. It's me, your spoon. Constipation with belly pain still coming back?
Yeah.
Talk to your doctor. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, but Linzess could help you get ahead of it.
Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Damp and dreary today, with on and off light rain likely and a clap of thunder also possible. Temperatures staying crisp, too, only rising to the mid-60s. But tomorrow, the sunshine returns and so do temperatures in the mid-70s. And we get even warmer after that.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Locally grown news. Got an 80s vibe going today with Terry and James here together. Hope you're having a good one out there, everybody.
New York is everything they say, and no place that I'd rather be.
Man, Huey Lewis had a moment there. The Huey Lewis in the news had a moment.
Yeah, I think he had a whole minute.
Yeah.
He had more than a moment.
Definitely.
He was awesome.
Let's talk s'mores. We are in the getting into the more Memorial Weekend is usually the kickoff of the summer weekend, of course, and everything. Kids' summer camp coming up, or just you know having a fire outside, or any of those things. S'mores are a go-to. But how do you make them? How do you make them out there, everybody? I want audience feedback on this one, 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation through the Civic Media app as well. So they have here a guide on the best way to make s'mores. This is from Camp Kupamanji. Kupamanjan.
I'm just thinking of like every 80s movie that had a camp on it.
Yes. Oh, man.
Meatballs.
There were so many. There was a trend, too, there. Where, hey, these are good movies. We'll make these.
They were fun.
Bill Murray was in Meatballs, I think. So here we go with the four techniques you should be using, or you can use. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Let's get that out of the way.
But maybe you can improve what you're doing.
Exactly. I think that's what you look at with this list. We're not trying to change minds here. We're just maybe adding to what you do. So number one, the roasting technique. Most people agree that the marshmallow and how you roast it is the most critical part of the equation. They found that the ideal roasting time is exactly 2 minutes and 37 seconds over medium heat.
Okay, I've been making s'mores for, gosh, I don't know. How old do you let your kid first roast? Like, right. So, let's say 45 years. Mm-hmm. And I have never kept time on the marshmallow. I kept my eyeballs on the marshmallow.
It has
to be golden brown.
Yes.
I can't do the burnt at all. I know people who like them, but golden brown and soft the whole way through.
Mm.
So you do have to keep it up, yes, more medium heat, because otherwise the outside gets brown and your inside is still hard.
What, and how, like the medium heat part, I feel like that's a little... Does anybody make a s'more outside of a campfire? Like, you're always doing it over a campfire, right?
I think people sometimes get it, like, in too hot of heat. They might not start it on fire, mm-hmm. but the outside gets browned, and then the inside is still, like, a harder marshmallow. So
top of the flames.
Raise
there.
It you're up a little up bit. There, although, I'm not going to lie, I have made them in the house.
Mm-hmm.
On the stove.
Okay. Oh, I know. I'm sure people have. I just haven't been a part
when
of that.
When sometimes you just need one.
I might have to do that,
don't drip
actually.
It on the stove, though.
It's
quite messy.
This is making me very hungry. The chocolate. While traditional milk chocolate works fine, darker chocolate gives it an extra flavor punch. They suggest using one that's about 70% cocoa, and the chocolate should be softened by the fire just before sandwiching it.
Oh, I'm a Hershey's milk chocolate all the way.
Yeah,
has
yeah,
to be that
traditional.
Three squares.
Although I love dark chocolate, so I do too, but I
don't know.
I don't know that I'm gonna, you know, I'm not gonna
not
get,
here.
I'm not gonna get bent out of shape either way. And the graham cracker, of course, it provides the crunch and structure that holds the whole thing together. A slightly honey flavored graham cracker tastes the best, and the cracker should be warmed for 12 seconds on each side before assembling to enhance the texture flavor profile.
Where are you warming it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not warming it. The marshmallow is doing the warming and the melting, and the marshmallow is doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
I do agree on the honey graham crackers, but I don't think I buy any other kind.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's just... sometimes my mom will get... And for me, and I'm a sugar junkie, but to me it's just too much. She'll get those cinnamon sugar graham crackers for this, but then I don't know. I just want a plain one, regular graham cracker.
I don't mind those if I'm in the mood for it, but I can have like two and I'm done. There's so much cinnamon on those for me. And the ratio. When you finally go to assemble the perfect s'more, we'll have a ratio that's two parts graham cracker, three parts marshmallow, and one part chocolate. That is according to this article. Now, how you make it is the right way to make it. However you make it,
that's probably the right way.
Specifically, how Terry makes it, but however you make it out there is right. Now, I don't know that they, other than the real overly specific details of time and all those things, there's nothing new there to me. I didn't feel like I heard anything.
Have you ever heard of somebody warming up the graham cracker?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't begrudge it.
You have to have a grill over your fire then? Like, how are you warming it for 12 seconds?
I feel like part of what brings us to these, certainly going back to nostalgia and the flavor, of course, and all that, but the simplicity and the quickness of making a s'more, I feel like is a key part of it. If I'm spending too much time on it, it's just not, doesn't mean as much to me.
You get the kid out your timer.
I'm not going to spend more than that. No, I'm not doing that. I don't know.
I do like them, though. I love a s'more.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a time of year that is better than other, but this time of year really does feel like the right time of year to dive into those. I'm a big fan. One of the other things that we're a fan of around here is, of course, buying local, supporting local. And there's a lot of great local things that we get to be a part of throughout the whole year. One of the things that we love to highlight is our local arts and certainly our high school arts. And that season is wrapping up. Our high schools are wrapping up for the year and everything. We were just talking about graduation earlier. So Lincoln High School is the last, as far as in the area, band concerts available. And they got one going on tonight, 6:30, Orchestra Pops concert at the Performing Arts Center right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Encourage you to check that out. Support the kids. Enjoy the great show and a wonderful atmosphere. I love the pack. It's a great place to take in anything.
Yeah, you'd be challenged to find a place with better sound.
Yeah, the acoustics in there. I would give anything to perform on that stage. I would love to. I graduated right before that got built and everything. And it bothers me every time I think about it. I want to get over on that stage. Get on over there and check out these kids and enjoy that show again. 6:30 tonight, the Orchestra Pops concert happening at the Performing Arts Center, and then tomorrow got another show, 6:30 choir concert, and that will wrap up the season of the Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools concerts.
Nice.
So one more for you today at 6:30, Orchestra Pops concert, and then tomorrow 6:30 choir concert, both of these at the Performing Arts Center in Wisconsin Rapids. Encourage you to head on over there, support these kids, buy local, support local, everybody. Terry and I are going to get into our news, sports, and partner break when we come back. Got a couple of fun ones for you. One of the topics I wanted to get into, the state that drives the fastest and slowest, the states that drive the fastest and slowest. We'll get into that and plenty more when we come back on the morning show here at WFHR.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A bill requiring child sexual abuse prevention programming in Wisconsin schools was approved by the Assembly Committee on Children and Families last week. Appleton Democrat Lee Snodgrass noted it would not apply to private schools. Joanne Krulatz has more.
Oconomowoc Republican Barb Dietrich didn't disagree while citing the recent case of a school bus driver accused of sexually assaulting a six-year-old girl on his bus. Dietrich said it's critical to teach kids safety at an appropriate age and called the bill the start of something very positive. The bill requires school boards to provide at least one instructional session to pupils in 4K through grade 12, specifies what the program must cover, and requires that parents be notified and given the option to exempt their students.
If you are a landowner or forester and you're interested in attracting more birds to your area, there's an upcoming webinar you'll want to check out. The Wisconsin Center for Wildlife is holding Forestry for Birds events in June. They have a webinar on Friday, June 6th, followed by 3 Saturday field days, including one in Portage County. You can learn more and register at the UW Extension website. Several streets will be closed in Marshfield beginning on Friday at 2 p.m. for the annual Dairy Fest celebration. Streets immediately surrounding Columbia Park will be closed. This includes sections of West Blodgett, North Chestnut, West Arnold, and North Walnut. Sections of 2nd and 3rd Street will also be closed in that area. On Saturday, May 31st, streets will be closed for the parade and downtown activities beginning at 7 a.m. These include Central Avenue between Veterans Parkway and 14th Street, along with 14th Street from Central Avenue to Vine Avenue. You can find a full list of Dairy Fest activities at marshfieldchamber.com. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
A Brewers win over Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and Red Sox wrapping up their series today in Milwaukee. Last night, Christian Yelich hit a walk-off grand slam in the 10th to lead the Brewers to a 5-1 win over Boston. The inning before, Yelich scored the tying run from third. Manager Pat Murphy.
We've all seen that. I've been here with Yelly as long as I have. We've all seen that base hit out of him, that double, and then his base running to get you to third. That's why he's a great player.
NFL, the Packers OTAs continuing today without Packers defensive back Jair Alexander. A report says the Packers will take him back if he takes a pay cut. Jair's agent says he wants to stay in Green Bay, but not with a restructured deal. In golf, the U.S. Women's Open tees off tomorrow in Wisconsin. Nellie Korda on what it's like to compete at Erin Hills.
It tests every part of your game. It's very demanding. Even if you think you've hit it good, you just exhale when you see it stop.
That's golfer Nellie Korda with Sports on Mike Clemens.
At Tri-City Services, we're so proud to be celebrating 80 years of trusted service to Central Wisconsin. Since 1945, Tri-City has been the name you can trust to stay warm in the winter and cool in the summer. We're offering a limited-time anniversary special. When you purchase a new air conditioner, you'll get $19.45 off a new furnace. Call 715-423-5840 today or visit calltricity.com to schedule your free quote.
We're not comfortable until you are at Tri-City Services.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Because when you travel in Wisconsin, you see what our beautiful state has to offer. And now, more than ever, you see the importance of the travel and tourism industry and the impact it has on our community's small businesses, infrastructure, and economy. Destination marketing organizations statewide are working diligently to generate the economic benefits tourism has to offer and ensure that tourism in Wisconsin recovers better than ever. Their work to drive visitation, book meetings and conventions, and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover Wisconsin, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. And you can do your part just by exploring Wisconsin yourselves or supporting your local destination marketing organization directly. To learn more about what Wisconsin's destination marketing organizations are doing, visit destinationswisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
Damp and dreary today, with on and off light rain likely and a clap of thunder also possible. Temperatures staying crisp, too, only rising to the mid-60s. But tomorrow, the sunshine returns and so do temperatures in the mid-70s. And we get even warmer after that. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 55 degrees.
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take it.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. This is more 90s than 80s.
I don't know. Is this from Cocktail?
Yes. Yes, it is. I believe so. So 80s. Yeah. Yes. All right. All right. Couldn't remember. Terry and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Again, another spring, summer topic, traffic. Whether we like it or not, certainly, whether it is the traveling we're doing with, you know, getting out of the house and, you know, bopping around, vacation plans, all that, or orange cone season, which we always like to remind you to keep an eye out for our city workers out there working their tails off just trying to make our roads safer
Slow down.
So if traffic is really slow on the roads today, just be thankful you are not in New Hampshire. Because if you are in New Hampshire, our condolences, we feel for you. Thank you for tuning in. I don't know why you're listening to us, but we really appreciate it. There's a new report on the average driving speeds in each state, and New Hampshire was the slowest, with an average speed of just under 50 miles per hour. Wyoming has the fastest drivers at an average of 72.
They've got a lot of stretches, though, of like no or very high speed limit. You know, just...
Yeah.
Just drive.
Never been there or to that part of the country, but so when I first saw it, I'm like, what is that? That doesn't make sense. And then, yeah, that kind of brings it in, I think. To come up with these numbers, they used Google data to track the average driving time for a long-distance route between a state's major cities. They made sure it was a good average by checking the speeds at various times throughout the day and across different days of the week. The more densely populated states are generally slower than the wide-open roads of the bigger western states. But it was more comprehensive than just looking at speed limits or traffic congestion. After New Hampshire, the next slowest states are Vermont at 52 miles, Maryland at 54, Mississippi at 56, Rhode Island at 56, and then Alaska at 56 as well. Hawaii wasn't included in the data. And after Wyoming, the next fastest states are New Mexico, Idaho, South Dakota, Florida, followed by Alabama and Arkansas. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting list. For urban driving, the slowest states are Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, Colorado, and Ohio. The fastest urban driving states are Alaska, Alabama, Nebraska, Arkansas, and Missouri.
Say that 10 times fast.
Yeah, Alaska and Nebraska, I never realized they're so darn alike. Interesting list, as far as, again, this is the states that drive the fastest and the slowest, according to this list. Where does Wisconsin rank? That is what everybody is curious about, what we want to know, of course. So looking in Wisconsin, Wisconsin ranks at about 60 to 65 miles per hour. So a little bit faster than the average, a little bit faster than some, but very right on pace with Illinois, Michigan, and Indiana. So pretty similar to all of those. So, as far as the average time getting to work, all that, I think there's some stuff there that seems interesting, but I don't think it's anything that we kind of probably couldn't put together. Yeah. Don't know. I think one of the more key, interesting things about this to me would be the route that you all take. Everybody has their route to work. Everybody has their route to get to something. And it is usually the fastest route to work. But do other people do this? I have a obviously working in radio, there are plenty of times where, I got to get there. I got to be on air in a couple minutes or whatever or something. But there are times when I'm taking my time into work. Do you have a pace route? A route you take that is just slower and a fast route? Because maybe it's just because I've been working here for so long. I have two different routes I take.
Oh, if I'm going to work, it's always the same.
It's always the same? Okay.
And I have to cross railroad tracks. Mm-hmm. So I do take that into consideration. Yeah. Like, if there is a train, where will it be moving the fastest? Mm-hmm. Which sounds kind of silly, but like if I cross closer to home, so more towards Rudolph, the train will be moving faster versus if I come closer to Rapids before crossing, mm-hmm. it's slowing down as it's coming into town. So I always cross at my first opportunity. But coming to work, I always go the same way. Doing other things, I might go different ways.
Sure, sure.
You know, if I'm coming in, whatever, to do some shopping or because I have something else going on, I might take a different route. But coming to work, it's just the same. I don't know. What is that? Is it autopilot? You know what I mean? It's like, autopilot. Here's where I'm headed. Here's what I need to, do.
I think maybe it's more something we do when it comes to like a trip that you take a lot, but not every week, maybe, or something. Like I go to Point, or was going to Point a lot, and I like taking a more scenic route. There are faster routes I might have been able to take, but there's a scenic route I just enjoy taking, and I usually did that one. So it's probably more so along those lines. Especially if I'm going to see my brother in Appleton or something like that, there's the certain routes you like to take.
Sure.
Maybe it's more of that. Part of what I think is interesting about this topic, and this is more of an umbrella topic about just transportation in general. We had Mayor Zacher in last week, and we touched on this a little bit, and we've talked about it a little more and more. And we have Lance Plimmel coming in a little bit later, and we'll probably come up with Lance as well. Our area, more specifically Wisconsin Rapids, is the conversation is becoming more and more consistent with do we need public transportation in this area? Do we need a bus line or something like that? And I just think that's an interesting conversation. I think it speaks to the area. I think it speaks to the health, the economy of the area, along with it's just being, to me, an interesting topic. I come from the home of trains. Where there was a point in this country where Chicago was the main spot for the country. All the trains ran and started and ended there. And Union Station or any of those things. And there's a lot of that to me that just enjoys this topic of transportation in general. I'm curious to see where this goes from here. I don't have a feeling on this one. I'm not going to be able to tell you should do this or you shouldn't do that or whatever. I just find the topic and the conversation interesting.
Well, public transportation's been on the table forever. I mean, there's been a Wood County Transportation Committee I've been in this job going on 18 years. I mean, it's always been there. And I think at the end of the day, it's not that there's not a recognized need. It's how does the need and the balance, need and the cost balance out? Mm-hmm. You know, how does that work and best benefit, members of the community? I think we've seen some alternatives to that. We've had a cab system, and there's been some efforts to try to improve that or change that and how that might affect people. Another good example around transportation is Mid-State Technical College mm-hmm. runs a van. Mm-hmm. From all the communities they serve back and forth. So if kids need or any student needs a certain class or whatever, they can get onto the campus that they need. The different health systems have run different transportation. And I think all of those are little pieces to the bigger picture of mm-hmm. public transportation. Mm-hmm. But it is interesting because it's been a topic of discussion for a really long time, and I think at different times it surfaces in different places.
See, that's more of my point.
Yeah.
I understand it's been around for a long time, even longer than I've been in this area, but I feel like in recent years it's been brought up to the surface again. I'm hearing more and more people, especially political people, talking about it. When we're looking at job creation and talking about that, that's another part of this to me, is that what it can do. Now, is this going to bring in 5,000 jobs into the area? No, it's not going to do that, but very few things can. One of the things, and I've talked with Matt on air and off air about this, that I feel like he is really key to the past year or two and the amount of businesses you've seen move into this area. Part of the strategy of that is not only finding things that will succeed here, because anybody can bring a business into town. I'm talking about bringing something in that is going to last.
And that will be supported.
Job. Right. Not only that, but instead of looking for Amazon to come into town, which wouldn't make any sense anyway because they don't pay any taxes. It wouldn't help anybody, really. It's more about, hey, you got 300 jobs. Oh, you got 50 jobs. We're going to bring you into town. We're going to bring you in. And let these companies not only build roots in this area, but the employees who are already here building with that.
You know, there's a really successful rideshare program in Waupaca County, and they're actually right now, probably as we speak, working on a pilot of that program in the Marshfield area. So I think that's revived some of the discussion as well, because there's a lot of eyes from here, from Southwood County, on understanding what's happening in Waupaca and what the cost is and the impact, but then also what does this little pilot in the Marshfield area look like, and how, possibly, if it's successful, how could it be, expanded countywide and then be sustainable? So, I mean, I think there's really interesting conversations going on. It's awesome.
And there's two other ones, the two kind of separate conversations in a way here, too, where we're talking about local transportation, maybe a bus line here in Rapids or something along those lines. And then there's the, a bus line that takes you from Rapids to Point or from Point to Marshfield or something along those lines. And, Amtrak, Greyhound, they've got a long established industry, and I believe that they're in the state here a little bit, having them and being involved, or even doing something just of your own is an idea. I don't think, maybe I'm not being clear enough about this, I'm not expecting like a 20 fleet bus line or something like that, but even something simple that may not seem like it would get a lot of use, I really feel like once it's actually open and running, people would see how much use it would get. I do think that, like a lot of things in area and society in general, we're not kicking the can, but we're getting close to kicking the can. It's just a matter of time before you're going to need it. Now, here's the other part of this. If 5-10 years from now you don't need it, that's a problem too. That's also an issue because communities like ours are looking to, we're all looking for our biggest resource right now is people. And not only keeping people in this area, especially, hey, graduation's happening right now. Now, one of the oldest stories I remember from living in this area, my nan and papa went to, they had the Zielinskis, really good friends of theirs, and they went to their daughter's graduation at Lincoln. And my nan and papa come from a pretty big area when it comes to high school graduations. You're sitting there and you're going to be there all day, that kind of thing. With this, they were really blown away with how many kids there were. And my papa is sitting there thinking, how many of these kids are going to stay in town? You know, how many of them are going to stay here and work here or live here and everything? And that's something that is still a storyline, not just for Rapids. Everybody in every state is dealing with this in rural communities. How do you keep them here? Some of these things are attractive to people. Some of these things are reasonings, you know, that are not the one sole reason they're going to stay, but it helps. It helps add to the positive column. We'll see. It's interesting. I don't think that the area is going to fall apart without it or anything like that. But I do think it's an interesting topic to keep an eye on.
You know, I also wonder about the scalability of other programs like, you know, like Lyft or like Uber. Like, to me, that seems probably like the most cost effective, sustainable. But it's how do you scaling it to a small community?
Yeah,
you know, so yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunity.
And it's a topic that's not going anywhere either. I think that we're definitely going to keep talking about this over the next year or two. I wanted to send a shout out to this New York news anchor. For those that did not hear, a morning news anchor for a New York station went into labor in the early morning and still anchored the morning show less than 2 hours later. Well done, Olivia. Olivia Jacquith, morning anchor over in Albany, anchored the 6 a.m. news broadcast on Wednesday after her water broke about 4:15 a.m. Quote, "We do have some breaking news this morning," literally. Co-anchor Julia Dunn said at the start of the broadcast, "Olivia's water breast broken." It's a great way to start out your news.
I mean, but at the same time, like, you have a co-host. Like, I'm thinking to myself, okay, she's the only one there and they're waiting for someone to come. You know, I get her commitment to going live, but that's kind of funny, especially when someone else is there. I can guarantee you it was not her first kid.
Yeah, yeah, that's a great point. That's a really good point by you.
You know, too calm, cool, and collected for the first.
100%, you're right about this. The anchor had announced in February that she and her husband, Tin, were expecting their first child.
It's their first?
That's wild.
That is crazy.
You're in the moment.
That doesn't add up.
You're in the moment, and the cameras are on. That is helping, I imagine, keep the nerves maybe a little more at bay. But that is wild. Good credit.
I figured for sure it wouldn't be the first.
I would have bet any money that you were right about that. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's a good story, fun story, and congratulations to them on the healthy baby. Let's go ahead and take a time out. When we come back, we're going to get into some local good stories of the day. Got a lot of things going on in our area. Also want to get an update from the United Way, talk a little bit about our schedule coming up and all of that right here at Mornings on WFHR.
Join the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors for ACW Wrestling Night May 31st. Enjoy the thrill of pregame wrestling matches featuring former WWE ACW member and former WWE Cruiserweight Champion, Wisconsin native Hornswoggle. An autograph session will follow, but if you purchase a VIP package, you'll get a ringside seat and a guaranteed autograph and a ticket to the game. Take yourself out to the ballgame at historic Winter Field in Wisconsin Rapids for Raptor Baseball and ACW Wrestling Night May 31st.
Get ready to experience Milltown Coffee Company, where they'll delight your taste buds with a delicious selection of breakfast and lunch options, a full espresso and coffee menu, and irresistible ice cream.
Explore their charming retail and gift area and enjoy their inviting outdoor seating, which is not only dog friendly, but also features freshly baked dog treats, perfect for your furry companions. Join them for exciting special evening events and a vibrant weekly farmers market that brings the community together. Milltown Coffee Company, opening May 2025.
Breaking sports radio show news coming across the ticker. In a move for the ages, 105.5 WIRI has traded for playmakers. Join us 4 to 5 Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays. Hit us in the numbers by calling with your sports takes and feelings. We'll have James, Randy, Michael, and Seth bringing you local sports coverage and news that you won't hear anywhere else. Thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be heard 4 to 5 every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on 105.5 WIRI's newest roster edition, Playmakers. We speak sports.
Damp and dreary today, with on and off light rain likely and a clap of thunder also possible. Temperatures staying crisp, too, only rising to the mid-60s. But tomorrow, the sunshine returns and so do temperatures in the mid-70s. And we get even warmer after that. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, currently 53 degrees.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you.
Closing time. Open all the doors and let you out into the world. Closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every
been a fun show. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us, Terry. Really do appreciate the time from you and all of our listeners out there. You guys calling in, joining us. It's been a lot of fun. Keep on listening. All summer long, we're going to be giving away rafter tickets, and we'll keep doing that. Appreciate you guys joining us for that. It's been a lot of fun. And then, of course, on Friday, we'll be giving away brewer tickets. Be listening for that, everyone.
And guys, a chicken sandwich is not a burger.
It's just not. It's just not. As we review the show, yes, that is our big takeaway from today. I want to get into our schedule a little bit and remind everybody that the Rapids Report is going to be brand new for you today. We got two pods dropping for you about 2 o'clock. You can catch them in part one. We're going to talk to our friend Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman, along with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. We'll be in to record that one. Lance and I will be talking a little bit later. And in the other episode we'll have for you today, UW Extension has a forestry event coming up that Tony Johnson's going to be in to talk about. Looking forward to that. That's going to be really fun. Tony's very excited about the project, and we're looking forward to diving into it with him. Be sure to spread the word. Rapids Report available Monday through Friday. New episodes downloadable at 2 o'clock. Spread the word, everybody. It is rafter season, and we will have rafter baseball on the radio dial for you tonight. But before that, we got a pregame for you on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI. Join us from 4 to 5 for Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. It's our live sports call-in show. Get those sports takes and feelings ready to go. We want to hear from you a little bit later. Really looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun show
tonight. Wassa Woodchucks tonight, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Michael and I will be hanging out, getting you ready for that game, and talking a little bit about Assumption and their softball playoff run going on here, and plenty of other fun things. So that's going to be good. Also wanted to mention, I'm sorry, real quick, I wanted to go back to the rafters real quick, because the rafters have a fun one going on tonight. Tonight is community night with the Mid-State going on over at the ballpark.
Oh, the must be tuition giveaway starting, huh?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Cool.
So not only do you get to see us take on the Wausau Woodchucks and defeat them, hopefully, for our first win. How good would our first win of the season be against Wausau?
I mean,
that'd feel good.
I think it's a good fit.
But you can also support our friends at Mid-State and the great work they are doing and be a part of tuition night. That's going to be fun. It's going to be a good night. And again, Playmakers F4 will be here on 105 for that one. Again, a reminder that tonight you've got the Orchestra Pops concert happening at 6:30 at the Performing Arts Center. Be sure to check that out, everybody. And of course, our Wisconsin Rapids Municipal Zoo is open for the season. Get on over to 1911 Gaynor Avenue. Check out some of these amazing animals they have over there. Big shout out to all the workers they have. Cannot wait to get over there.
You've been over there?
Not yet.
Oh,
not yet.
Thought maybe you walked over there like at lunchtime or something.
On my brief breaks, I glance over there longingly. I cannot wait to get over
Wave
there.
Wave to your family?
Yes, yes. I got a lot of good family members over there. Terry, why don't you certainly touch on things with the United Way one more time before we wrapped up. You guys have a lot going on right now. We've touched on a couple of things with getting kids registered for Stuff the Desk and touching on the diaper drive a little bit too. But you also have a United Weekend and some other stuff right around the corner.
Yeah, we have got a ton going on. So I really encourage you to visit our website, uwswac.org. There's actually an events tab, and all of this stuff is there because there's a lot to keep track of. The week after school lets out, so starting on June 9th, we have our Great Book Giveaway series that runs the entire week, and it's a great opportunity to get free books in the hands of kids. People will be there reading and a variety of locations, including the zoo. So each day we have one or two different locations. So, you know, really want to help prevent that summer slide and get books to kids. Super excited about that. Also talking rafters, we have our United We Can food sculpture contest on Tuesday, June 17th. This is an opportunity for you to come out and, you know, maybe gain a little better understanding of hunger in our community mm-hmm. and what that looks like. We right now have eight local teams that will be building food sculptures out of canned goods. And then the bonus about that is, you know, that then all of that food gets donated to two local programs to help supplement pantries and weekend backpack programs and that kind of thing. So I encourage you, you know, at a minimum, come to the rafter game on June 17th. Join us there. Bring some non-perishable food items as a donation to add to what we leverage with the sculptures. If you've thought about building a sculpture before and you've just been unsure, mm-hmm. you can register through Friday of this week, right? And, you could jump in. We have two different categories, Major League over 500 cans, Minor League is under 500 cans. But it's super fun. And if you think you're not, you know, you don't have the inspiration to build something, Google is your friend, because there are hundreds and hundreds of examples of ideas of what you could build from food. So great event, good community support, but we want to fill those stands mm-hmm. and you get to vote when you're there. Community Choice Award, pick your favorite sculpture, join in the fun and help us spread the word, spread the awareness about hunger in our community.
Make it tough for me and the other judges to judge on these and make them all great, and we want more and more teams, and have some fun with this one. We'll meet you at Winterfield June 17th for the United We Can event. You can find out more about these and other great things going on with our United Way all year long at uwswac.org. Be sure to follow them on social media and share their posts on your page. Again, uwswac.org. Appreciate all the information, Terry. Thank you so much to you and your team. I wanted to also mention this. Melissa sent this one over a little while ago, and I wanted to remind everybody, tonight is the night, the Community Exchange social event happening with Avenue Tile and Avenue Title and Blanker Construction. They're asking for their everybody to come down for their first Community Exchange event, a casual gathering of local business owners and homeowners and anyone looking to connect and learn. The event is all about bringing our community together to share ideas. This is happening at 8:30 Huntington Avenue tonight, starting at 5. Be sure to check it out, everybody. It should be a fun, interesting event and a great chance to share information and really just socialize. You know, I mean, especially this time of year, any chance to get out of the house, do something, always a fun thing.
Rainy day, get on out.
Got a That Ain't Right story for you, Terry. Got a good one here, I think. A man in Charlottesville, Virginia, named Kevin Cox, was arrested after he painted his own crosswalk on a busy street.
Genius. Obviously, you can't do that, apparently.
I have to admit, too, his name being Kevin just kind of stood out a little bit to me. Shout out, Kev.
That is fabulous.
Unfortunately for him, it didn't take the city long to catch on and get rid of it, and Kevin knew it wouldn't last. He even used a non-permanent water cell, spray chalk, to prove his point.
Well, then, is it really that big of a deal?
Yeah. He said residents have been trying to get the traffic under control for a while, and they can't get the city to do anything, so he decided to make his own. Now, this is obviously very, very dangerous. Do not do this. Do not take this into your own hands. There are plenty of, you know.
When you hear this, are you visualizing like multiple lanes? I was just visualizing like just a super busy, you know, maybe like what you have out here, right? Like a super busy two, maybe three lane. But I suppose, I mean, there is the safety, but that's what they're asking for is safety. They want a crosswalk.
Kevin was charged with property damage and is facing up to a year in jail. He hopes
chalk.
Wow, wow. He hopes he can get off because he used chalk and not actual paint. He's also hoping the case gets city engineers to reconsider putting something there, which I imagine is his overall point. So,
trying to get attention.
Yeah.
For a good, for safety. Yes, you have to do things the right way and follow the rules, but my goodness, you think about all the things that people get, like, don't get any time for or any punishment for, they're actually gonna
that seems like a stretch there a little bit. I don't know. An Alaska Airlines crew helped out a couple flying to their wedding. The flight attendants went up the aisle and asked people to write down their best advice for them as they headed to life and to marriage. Things like be quick to forgive and say I'm sorry was very key on the list. There, that's nice. I like that idea. That's fun. And a guy from Oregon named Oliver Widger suddenly has a huge following online after he quit his job to sail around the world with his cat. He got diagnosed with a rare bone disorder that could eventually cause paralysis. So he cashed in his 401k and decided to go see the world. He brought his cat Phoenix along for the ride. The cosmetics brand Elf sent a plane out and dropped him a care package in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Like, I mean, a lot of people going on with this one. His TikTok handle is Sailing with Phoenix, if you're curious and you want to keep up on their journey.
So do people care about him or the cat?
Boy, that's a good question. That's a good question. I bet you it's probably 50-50.
You would say that.
I'm being hopeful about it.
Well, me too, but I just like, what's getting the attention?
If he just decided to do this, then it's definitely the cat. Yeah. But I think the rare bone disorder and the meaning of it, I love the spirit of this. I think that's pretty cool.
I feel like the cat's getting the attention.
The cat's definitely, now that I'm saying it out loud, 75% to the cat. Yeah. At least 75%.
Good on you, kitty.
Yeah. Have fun, you guys. Safe travels to them. Terry, great show today. Thanks so much for hanging out with us.
You bet.
Again, uwswac.org. Everybody, be sure to bookmark that page. We'll be back at this tomorrow. Be good to each other.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. President Trump critical on social media of Russia's Vladimir Putin.
Clearly, this doesn't bode well for the Trump-Putin relationship, which President Trump has said for years is so incredibly good, that he understands Putin, that only President Trump can broker a peace deal between Putin and Ukraine.
CBS's Nancy Cordes. Israel says recent strikes have killed Hamas leader Mohammed Sinwar.
One of the masterminds of October 7th, those terror attacks back in 2023. He's also has risen through the ranks, through the military wing, and has been a commander over many, many years.
CBS's Ramey Innocencio. Hawaii's Governor Josh Green signing a bill imposing a 3% tax on hotel rooms and vacation rentals to raise money to combat climate change.
If we don't do proper destination management, if we don't keep our beaches properly tended to, if we don't make sure the parks are perfect, people will stop coming.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kaif.